This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome to the afternoon. 10 past one is the time. All right. So I told you that I did my hair. I put on some falsies today, some lashes and red lipstick because we're celebrating drag culture in South Africa. So this culture born from the underground ballroom scenes of New York City back in the mid-20th century has evolved into quite a vibrant and celebrated form of performance art and self-expression worldwide, emerging mostly from the marginalized communities, particularly Black and Latino LGBTQ plus communities. Drag initially served as a means of challenging societal norms and exploring identity through elaborate costumes, exaggerated makeup, and theatrical personas. And the roots of drag are very important. It's deeply intertwined also with the quest for visibility, empowerment in the LGBTQ plus communities. Here in South Africa, drag culture has found fertile ground. Blending international influences with local traditions and narratives, the South African drag scene has become a vibrant tapestry of creativity, activism, and entertainment, embracing performers of diverse backgrounds and identities. Now, here, drag is not just an art form, but it is a platform for social commentary, for advocacy, addressing issues ranging from LGBTQ plus rights to cultural acceptance. Moreover, South Africa's drag community challenges stereotypes and expands notions of gender and sexuality, welcoming participants from all walks of life, including straight men who engage in drag as a form of artistic expression and entertainment themselves. So let's get into it with our fantastic drag artist who has come into studio to tell us a little bit more. Welcome, Adam.
Hello, everybody. Say hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
That's what I'm talking about. You see that? That's branding, y'all. That's branding.
I love it.
On the air. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy. It's wonderful to have you here.
Guys, the energy in the studio is so alive. Uh-huh. I am so here and like, yo, ready to hit y'all with the facts.
I love it.
Ready to hit y'all with a tea. Let's go.
Well, you know, the brilliant thing is that it is your life, right? And it's your observations. And that's what I'm sure a lot of people in coming to see you, in experiencing you, are very, very curious about the roots of Adam, okay?
Yeah, of course.
So Adam, it's interesting, was the first man, biblically.
Right.
And now here she is,
babes. Here she is. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I am many things. Yeah. Creative name maker, yeah. I am not. You know what the thing with drag is? Wow, this is going to be the most pageant queen answer.
Let's go.
The thing with drag and with my identity in drag was, a lot of people say that drag makes you become yourself. But I never found a difference between myself in and out of drag. I always felt this freedom. I always felt this like capability. It's just now I have the opportunity to bring it to a platform where it's more performative.
Right.
So I wanted to stick with my boy name because it's my name.
Yes.
It is my name and I am still me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I totally understand. Let's talk about when you first got into drag. What inspired you? What did you see? And what made you think I'd like to pursue this?
You know what? Oh, I'm about to air some dirty laundry on the TV, on the radio,
yes.
The TV for the ears. When I was much younger, I was like 16 and I was like sneaking into clubs and stuff, right? Because, you know, we wanted to be out, we wanted to be crazy and blah, blah, blah. Every single Friday, I used to sneak into this one little drag bar and I would watch the show. Every single Friday. It was the same show for like 4 years. No shade. It was the same show for like 4 years and I was sneaking all the time and I was just like, I saw them and I was like, this is something that I could really do. I mean, I've always been a performer.
Yes.
And so then when I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race, which of course has made an indelible mark on the drag scene in the world, I was like, right, this is something for me. And at home, I would just like start getting into it, whatever. And then eventually I had the good opportunity to host drag shows, but out of drag. And then COVID hit.
Oh.
And COVID hit hard. So there were no nightlife spaces. Yes. There were no spaces for me to host in drag. But I needed to make money somehow. And what my business partner and I did, we came up with a plan to start doing these shows. But in my mind, I could not rightfully, because, you know, the venues, let me tell you something about venues booking a drag queen. They'll be like, okay, cool. We need you to do 5.5 hours of shows. Mm. There's no place to change. It's all in the dark. All the heaters are working. No fans.
Yes.
And you'll get 500 rand and a drink. Yeah. No. So I was like, I can't pay these people so little money. So I was like, but you know who I can pay very little money? Me. So I was like, this is my opportunity. This is my shot. So I started doing drag and I started booking just myself. And we started booking some of the other girls. Yeah. And then we built this whole huge thing now. We built so much from there. So it's a fun start. Start of necessity.
That is incredible.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And we're hustlers.
Yes. And so much creativity and necessity birthed business, birthed, you know, various expressions. And this is one of them. So tell me about the show. Tell me about what you do, because we'll see drag artists, you know, what's
lip
the thing?
Syncing.
Thank you. Mouth mimicking is what I was thinking. Lip syncing. Lady Gaga, Whitney Houston songs.
Yes, ma'am.
But there's so much more that can happen in a drag show. So tell me about what you perform.
So my shows are very diverse.
Okay.
I do a very broad array of shows. In my show, especially one of the bigger shows, you can expect comedy. I'm a host. I like that. That's my main thing. I love to talk on the mic. That's, I'm a host. You'll expect comedy. You can expect lip syncing, of course, but something to differentiate, and of course dancing and blah blah blah.
Yes.
But I sing live a lot,
which
is something that I do in a big way for like the big shows. I keep it sacred. That's my baby.
Okay.
That's my baby. Also, it's so annoying when all the other girls are performing and then you're like, you know what I'm gonna do? And you do like the whole Christina Aguilera stupid like scoop thing. I'm not doing that at the function. Give the girls some air to breathe.
All right,
you know what I'm saying? So my shows are very, very across the board. I love a variety. I love keeping people entertained.
Yes.
Do you know what? If there's one thing you can expect, is entertainment.
I love
hardcore.
That. I love that. Okay, so let's get into the nitty gritty of things that I'm sure people are very interested and curious about. Typical day or week, what does that look like for you? And in terms of when you are going to the bank or when you're going to the gym, you know, what does the typical day or week look like for you?
So I am very fortunate to be quite booked and blessed.
Love
you know what I'm
it.
Saying? This is my third day in a row this week that I'm in drag.
Amazing.
And we have two more shows after this. We have a whole bunch of stuff to go and do. So I more often than not have at least two drag shows a week. But
and this is at a venue booked to perform.
Yes.
Is it necessarily a nightclub venue or it could be
somebody's usually.
Birthday party?
You know where I perform a lot? I do brunches a lot. So we own Drag Brunch. If you guys have ever heard the term drag brunch, so we own that. So we lease that out across the country. We have incredible queens hosting that.
Yes.
It's this Saturday, Bobby.
I love
you gotta pull
it.
Up.
I
it's
love
free.
It.
It's free. I hope y'all are listening. It's free, Henny.
And where?
So, at this one on Saturdays at Street Bar named Desire.
Oh, fabulous.
In Rosebank, you know, this is a lovely moment.
Yeah.
So in the week, I am getting up at a regular time. Theo and I are doing our admin where we're getting the shows ready because we're go-getters, you know what I'm saying? We have to go and fetch our gigs because unfortunately, without reminding people about drag artistry and without reminding people that they need to see this kind of thing, drag queens are often overlooked as a form of live entertainment, as a form of, you know, a crowd attraction,
right.
Which we really are. I mean,
yes.
I'm here.
Look
on time,
at you.
So, yeah. Thank you, Anna. Thank you. So during the week, it's very, very normal until it's time for the show, of course. But I'm up. I'm going to the gym. I'm making sure my fitness is on fleek. On Tuesday, I did the coolest gig you guys.
Yes.
I hosted a fitness class in full drag. In full drag, we did that. I love saying yes to fun stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's about having fun and entertaining people. And I think that's what people often don't get. And that's why it's so important to have an active mindset, like an activist mindset.
Yes.
Is because you need to take that space.
Mm.
You need to create that space for yourself because people don't know what they want unless you show them, right?
Yes.
You got to show them that this is a new thing that people live for. And they do. They do. So during the week, we're doing shows, we're having fun. And most importantly is just keeping it light, keeping it, you know, we as queer people often have a very heavy burden to bear. And there are many moments where it's appropriate to do loud activism, but I often want to use my shows as a form of escape for people. I want you to, after this long week, the fact that you couldn't maybe wear what you feel most comfortable wearing at work or do something, you can come on Saturday morning, get together with the dolls, feel free to do what you
want. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
That's extraordinary.
And it's the truth.
Because you're absolutely right. There is a place and there's a time for more formal, perhaps, activism. But this is activism because joy is almost outlawed for certain people.
Of course.
And so it's a form of protest to live in the sparkle and in the joy.
Absolutely. And nobody listens to you better. You know, laughter opens up the soul.
That's it.
Nobody listens to you better. Nobody's mind gets changed faster than somebody who has had their soul opened up by you. So that's why I'm so grateful to do this. I go home after a show. You know, beforehand, it's work call. So yes. Beforehand, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to put all this glue on. I don't want to do all this stuff. You know, this is hot.
Because there's a lot going on.
Oh yes, there surely is. I got into full drag for the studio because y'all know I'm a professional. Content creation. You know, you get to the gig and suddenly it's like completely different. And I come home and I'm like, what is my life? Like, I get to make a living doing this amazing, ridiculous, objectively ridiculous thing and entertaining people in a way that is so just like so niche and so correct feeling for me. I feel very self-actualized and I'm very grateful.
That's amazing. Very few people get to have that experience.
I know, right?
And so, you know, growing up, I'm wondering, family, you know, who supports you must be also quite encouraging or a space where you could launch from.
Yeah, you know what? My mom is my biggest fan. My mom was always my biggest fan. I told her, I remember when I told her during COVID, during all of this, I was like, Mom, hear me out, because you know I'm a business person, you guys. It was business first, because I was like, no one's going to listen to me. Obviously, I was barizok, so I was, and drag is expensive. Yeah. Drag is very expensive, even though, you know, we're getting stuff from China Mall. But at the time when you got zero rand, 200 rand is a lot, is 200 more rand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember telling her, I was like, Mom, I'm going to do this. I've been in the scope of things or whatever. And I was like, I need an investment. Like, can you invest in me? And I promise I'll pay it back. And my mom was like, I do not have a doubt in my mind that you will pay this back. Here you
sweetest.
Go. And we surely did. I know that's right.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
And I'm sure more than
of
what
course.
She'd invested
of course.
In you. Okay, let's talk about the investments. Okay, so hair done, nails done,
everything did. Yes. Yes, ma'am. You wanna, let's talk turkey.
So let's talk. What is it? Because this is, it's wigs snatched, it's lashes, it's makeups.
So at the time, I was fortunate enough to have the makeup that I needed. I'll tell you, at the time, I was like, this is what I need. I need 10K because I need 3 China Mall wigs, I need 3 China Mall outfits, and I need 3 pairs of China Mall shoes.
Okay.
I was like, this is the tea, this is what we're doing.
So Adam is blonde.
Currently.
Currently, got it.
Currently.
Hence the 3 looks in the wigs.
Many, oh no. There are many.
At
this
the time.
Was years ago.
At the
this
time.
Is, yeah. At the time, I only got black wigs, no?
Yeah.
No. I got that black wig, I got that blonde wig with the black roots. And I got that pink wig.
And in the wig, is it a new persona? Are you the classy housewife of, I mean, I'm sure the black with the blonde at the bottom, like there's some ghetto-rification going on there. Or who is Adam?
So that's the thing that I love about drag. The wigs, I always tell Theo, the wigs are what I reward myself for doing all the other stuff. The wig comes at last and I'm like, okay, now I'm feeling it.
It comes
this
together.
Is the moment. I am actually very much more, I love a, there's a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
I do huge costumey things.
Right.
I just did the SA Style Awards earlier
Amazing.
This year. And I did this look, this conceptual look that was like all gold, like a melting Oscar. Don't you get me? Pull it up so I can show you.
Yes.
And so there's a huge array of stuff, but day to day, I wanted to do this because I want to look stately. You know, I want to be.
I love it.
I want to be here. I want to be present, and I love the housewife look. But I'm also a performer.
Yeah. Not, so it can get so bigger.
Human Hair, when I did One of One with Rich Mnisi.
All right.
And I headlined that. And I did, obviously at the time, I mean, Renaissance just came out. So I did a Beyonce set. That's like my bread and butter. My bread and butter is performing.
Yeah.
So we had the stage fans on. Boom, the hair flying moving. In the air, dancing, hoing. The full Beyonce drag fantasy. So it's a huge array of stuff. So leotards, dresses.
Amazing.
Tearaways, you know, head pieces, the whole shebang. I have a drag room in my house. Very, I feel like
all
it's a flex.
The wigs on little heads.
Uh-huh.
The jewelry.
Like 30 wigs.
Of course.
Like 30 wigs.
But if
now.
That is what you need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you get.
Right. And you know what?
That's your business.
Is? It is the business. And that's why I always tell people, the more you put into it, the more you can get out. I mean, listen, some people maybe don't put so much into it. But other people, other folks, that when you are driven in your career, when you're ready to do it, spend the money. You know, the first time I got a Human Hair wig, I sold my Nintendo Switch. So I could buy Human Hair wig.
That is the most, that is the most, what am I thinking? Like when you transform from Adam to Adam in drag.
Yeah.
Here's the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah,
the boy toy.
Oh my God.
For the Human Hair wig. I love that.
I needed that wig.
I'm so tickled.
I needed that wig. And that wig changed my life. For real. It changed my life. It adds a new dimension.
So, a most memorable experience or most memorable big win in your career so far?
Oh, there's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot.
I love
guys.
That for you.
I'm very, very lucky. Like I said, I can just like list stuff. I mean, I'm so grateful. One of One with Rich Mnisi was incredible. It's my friend, you know. The Clicks Beauty Playground, I headlined twice, 2 years in a row, which was absolutely amazing. I've done a couple of tours with the girls from Drag Race. I've done like five separate queens, six tours.
Wow.
And last year, you know what? I would say my crowning achievement would be last year, myself and my business partner, Theo, we put on our first self-funded tour with one of the girls from Drag Race. And we toured the country and we did this big theater show. And it was one of the first times that I sang in public, like on a public platform. Because I wanted, like I told you, this is my baby.
That's
I wanted
your baby,
to keep it to
you
me.
Said.
And it was mind-blowing. And I got both stops of the tour, I got like a minute and a half standing ovation for my numbers. And all of those moments like make me almost emotional thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not crying on radio. Oh, y'all are not clogging me. Getting the Emmy? Not today, honey. I have stuff to do after this. So I have so many that really, and coming here, getting to meet you, getting to do all this, we break. You know what my crowning achievement is? Mm. Breaking the barriers that I thought were literally impossible as a young drag performer, as a person hosting nightclub shows, doing whatever. My crowning achievement is that somebody can take a look at my career and say, like, this drag queen was on Sia Vindaland in drag as a drag queen doing a drag show. Like, you know how many like Afrikaans kids or someone like that is like watching this and going, dang, I can really do it. Even if that person is like two people, you know, two people, it's
two
made a huge
changed.
Difference and
yeah.
a difference. And that is what is my crowning achievement. I think my crowning achievement is the fact that I get to say I've had a full career in drag and it's just started for me.
It's just
in my
begun.
Opinion.
That's so beautiful. We're speaking to drag artist Adam, all about drag culture in South Africa. And I mean, this has been a very high energy, very exciting and delicious conversation. I wonder, what are your ultimate goals for how you'd like to see the drag industry in our country and beyond, and then for yourself as this incredible performer and business person.
They tie in, you know. All I want for the drag queens at large is for more queens to be able to have this as their sole job.
Uh-huh.
More queens to be able to commit a career to this, to have the space to do so, you know. At a certain point, you have to, you know, mainly worry about yourself. So I can't, like, provide as many, like, gigs as I even used to. But for me, the goal with drag is to get it to get people less afraid. I think people are very concerned about it because my shows are very much about upliftment, and I think people's normal perspective of a drag show is like, you're gonna go to a, you know, a dark bar and some queen is gonna like make fun of you or do something like that, and that to me is a bit corny. You don't isolate your audience, especially not right now when everybody is isolated. Everybody's
and
feeling
going
something.
Through something.
You gotta give them that, like I said, that joy, that release. So my goal, it ties in with everything. Drag queens on television. More drag on TV, more mainstream drag artistry. No more drag queens as the clown. No more drag queens reduced to, you know, their sexual identity. No more, none of that. And it sounds very, you know,
but
like
it is,
I am,
and that's
at,
important.
It is important. And I think that a seamless transition from there being basically none to having regular showcasing of drag on TV, i.e. I would like to have a TV show. We'll get into that later.
Manifested, there it is.
No, this is a secret. These dolls are going to be listening and they're going to be like, we're capitalizing, we're going to listen to the ideas. But I would like to have a space where I can create that space for drag artists to be showcased on TV, and not just drag queens, drag kings, to have all
Hang on. What's a drag king?
Drag kit male imitation. So like usually an assigned female at birth doing male imitative drag. Doing like Michael Jackson and Justin Timberlake and stuff. Like we're doing Whitney Houston and Beyonce. That's what I'm saying. Like all walks of life. Yeah. I want to have a showcase of that because I don't think people in our country, we're so inclined to being Americanized that we do not focus on the needs of the people of our country. Yeah. And to see someone born and raised South African, a colored man, a colored man as a drag queen on TV, giving the space for other people is so empowering. I just think people are not aware of what just that site for a young person could do.
Well, I don't know where the source of the energy comes from, and the energy meaning like the passion, the love, what you radiate. But please look after that because you're incredible. This has been fabulous. Adam, thank you for coming to visit us.
Bobby, thank you for having me. This is amazing.
Let's go take 50 million photographs immediately.
You dang right. You are dang right. Let's do that.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.